Meeting will come to order. Today is Duluth Day at the Capitol, and as a result, we have the good fortune to have, is it Marianne Boren? Have I got the right name? To come forward to give us some little bit of motivation for why there is some urgency in quick response and passage of a bonding bill. Welcome to the committee.
Thank you. Just briefly.
And you might identify yourself.
Okay,
for the
Marianne Boren. I'm the executive director at the Western Lakes Pier Sanitary District. As you can see, we've got a lot of people here from Duluth. We have priorities, which we've been talking to people about. My purpose today is to also talk about timing of the bonding bill, and we realize that the committee's got some very hard decisions that need to be made. I just want to highlight our situation at the Western Lakes Pier Sanitary District with our Polk Street pumping station and storage basin project. It is on PFA's priority list. It would be covered under the WIF funding. You do have money in the bonding bill right now for WIF, I think at $27 million, which would be very helpful. But it's very urgent for us that a bonding bill gets passed, and I just want to give you a sense of timing. The Polk Street project itself is directed and dictated by our consent decree. The project needs to be completed in November of 2011. The estimation is it's a 16-month project to complete. And from an engineering standpoint, we would like to put shovel in the ground on June 1st. And if we are able to start the project on June 1st, it would be completed in October of 2011, only 1 month prior to the consent decree deadline. But in order to start on June 1st, we need to award a contract on May 1st. It's about a four-week mobilization. But for us to award a contract, we need a bonding bill. We can't start prior to a bonding bill being approved. And so we're trying to estimate when we should go out for bid and fit within the timing of this bonding bill. So for us, a bonding bill any later than May 1st starts to get more and more problematic. And the earlier, the better. We realize you're working very, very diligently. But for us, a one-month delay will push us right to the deadline of the consent decree without giving us any opportunity for anything that may come up in construction that could delay things. So,
and that timeline is not of your making, but imposed on you, and there is an outcome.
Absolutely.
For you if you don't meet it.
The timing is dictated by a consent decree, which is signed by the EPA and the PCA. It dictates the deadline for completion of this project, and it also dictates daily fines, accumulation of daily fines that start as the first day that a deadline is not met. The equivalent of delaying the project 1 year is $1.6 million. And the fines start at $1,000 a day for the first 30 days, go to $4,000 a day for day 30 to 60, and then raise to $8,000 a day. So it's very critical that we make this project happen within the timeline that's been dictated to us.
Questions? Senator Lynch.
Madam Chair, just a comment, noting that it's Duluth Day. It's nice to have so many people from Duluth with us. One of my strongest memories from this last bonding cycle was when we visited the city of Duluth. And in the meeting room that we were in, we were able to look out and see that deck project that had previously been funded and the hundreds and hundreds of construction workers that were out working on that project. So I think you've got a very good example of what Minnesota bonding money can do for a community and for a state.
And Duluth, in turn, was a good partner when we arrived there on our tour at the DEC project. They handed us the sheet that showed all the contractors they had employed, and with only two exceptions, one from their neighbor across the border, Superior, they showed us that their contractors came from all over Minnesota. And I think that's where we understand we're all in this together, and you've certainly laid out a timing challenge for us, and it's good motivation for us to just get our work done. So okay, thank you so much. Any other questions? Representative Wagenius has a question.
Another question for you, just a comment. I was glad that folks from Duluth were down here today, and when they were visiting with me, I, you know, talked about the thing we always talk about around this table, is that projects are coming in less expensive in this year. And a banker from Duluth said, yes, projects coming into our bank are from 25 to 40% less expensive. That is a huge dollar savings, and we might want to get that formally on the record at some point, but
if that banker happened to be in the room, we'd even invite them to make that statement to the public record. I don't know if that person is here, but I think they are. We might as well take advantage of Duluth Days. Representative House has a question.
Madam Chair, if we bring the bankers forward and they say it, we can get it done for 40% less, and if the governor has people in here listening, he might want to do his bonding bill for 40% less. Be careful where we tread.
Well, our taxpayer dollar, we know, will go much further this year if we get a lot of these projects done than if we wait. Welcome to the committee. Please identify yourself for the record.
My name is Jennifer Ryan, and I'm a vice president at U.S. Bank in the Commercial Banking Division in Duluth, Minnesota. And our experience in the bank in the Duluth region specifically is that contractor bids are coming in anywhere from 25 to 40% less depending on the type of project, primarily due to labor savings and the fact that contractors are wanting to work and keep their people employed even if it means working at cost. And also, obviously, material costs are coming in quite a bit less as well.
Questions? Thank you so much.
Thank you.
We also have Sally Granz from Minsky, who had, I think, wants to give us some information. Is that correct?
Lake should be a little cheaper.
To discuss a cash flow issue? Or it was probably an issue raised at the last meeting, I think. It was, yes.
Hi, I'm Sally Granz Korsham, Assistant Director for Planning, Facilities Planning at Minnesota State Colleges and Universities. Normally, Al Johnson would be here, but he's not available to attend today. I just wanted to point out that the execution is really critical for us. As you heard yesterday in testimony, I think, by a couple of the senators and representatives, that even if the bonding bill was passed, we can spend the 1 to 2 months developing and getting the bidding out in place, reviewing the bids, assuring the surety, getting the insurance in place, everything ready to really rock and roll right on June 1st. And I have to tell you that we're really pushing our campuses to be shovel-ready on this, and they are prepared, and Al Johnson has testified before you. We've got 11 projects that are constructed at over $100 million that could begin immediately, and I think he's passed out this list. I think you all have it. I can get you copies of it, but showing that we are ready to go, and that was all we wanted to clarify, was that the campuses are ready. By getting the bill passed soon, we can go out for bids, we can get everything ready to go, and execution can begin immediately, not only to reflect the construction season, but also, quite frankly, kind of a bias that it reflects our academic season, that allows us to begin work faster with less people around in the summertime. So it's just a better situation. And I would like to just comment on the previous speaker that we have not seen bids coming in that low. But we have also adjusted our numbers, and we actually did adjust our numbers when we put them forth in 2012 and didn't include as high inflation on a number of different issues. So I think the bids will be good, but I have to tell you I'm amazed that they're that good.
Senator Pappas.
Madam Chair, I've heard some information about when the MMB likes to sell the bonds. And I don't know if Commissioner Hansen is here.
Is he going to testify
about that?
He is here and available for
questions. That's coming. Because what happens to you, Ms. Grant, if the commissioner doesn't sell the bonds? How does that impact your projects then,
Ms. Grant?
Senator Pappas, Chair Hausman, if the bonds are authorized, we can certainly go out for bids. And we have a statement in the documents that says the bid will not be awarded until funds are available at the state of Minnesota. We usually have a time frame of up to 90 to 120 days where the bid has to be held. So we've got our low bidder, we've got our guy ready. Mm-hmm.
woman waiting to start the work, so it's ready to go. When the funds are available and we can execute the contract, then it's out the door.
Okay. And Senator Langston?
Madam Chair, now you have the cash flow available to come up with the one-third of each project as it comes. Is it possible or legal or anything for you to bridge the gap that there would be as far as the state is concerned, getting some of those projects going and coming up with whatever cash is needed to keep them going?
Ms. Grant.
Senator Langseth, Representative Hausman, that's really a legal question that I would defer back to how the bonding bill is actually written, because my understanding is that currently we can't spend our own money and then get it replaced by bonding funds, that it has to be specifically for this project. So I think there's going to have to be a little bit more legal analysis done on how the bonds are issued and how the bill is actually issued to see if we could do that. But yes, we are prepared to take the debt portion of our one-third. But I can't answer, and I can have Vice Chancellor King get back to you, but I do think that it's also a legal question in terms of how to pay back a loan, for instance, that's brought back from an agency. I don't know if that's possible to do.
Well, Mr. Chairman?
Senator Patrick.
Madam Chair, I'm sorry. Senator Langston, thank you. You were talking about just the one-third that the school has to pay. Can you spend that before you before the bonds are issued? I think that's the question.
And that sounds like the legal question that you defer an answer to
and of course
somebody else.
That doesn't apply with HEPRA, which is 100% state paid.
Mm-hmm. And while she's still there, we have, of course, have started that very difficult process of talking to many of the players who are in the bonding bill, and Minsky is struggling with us on how we pare back the bill as we're trying to get it to a lower number, and we thank your office for all the help you've given us in that regard. It's not the easy part of this process, certainly, but you've, as usual, been very, very helpful
to
us.
It's been
thank Al Johnson
difficult.
As well.
You have a difficult job.
Thanks. And we do have Tom Hansen with us today, and we invite you to come forward. I think Senator Pappas had a question that she would address to you.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Madam Chair and Commissioner Hansen, I've heard some discussion about the timing as to when is best to issue the bonds, and that could affect whether these, once we pass the bonding bill, whether these projects could move forward, and maybe you could explain that to us and how that works and if that can be expedited.
Madam Chairman, Senator Pappas, normally when a bonding bill is passed in a legislative session, the former finance department, now MMB, goes out anywhere from June, July, or August and sells the bonds out in the market. And normally, that's not a problem. Now, however, we are the circumstances of this session make that usual timeline a little more difficult. We're doing the bonding bill earlier, you know, and presumably it'll get done. You know, presumably, if it gets done in the next week or two, we still haven't resolved the state's budget deficit. So, to sell bonds in the market while we are making material changes to our state's fiscal condition is difficult, and most entities don't do that. What has happened in the past when the state has been in this circumstance is that they, rather than selling the bonds during the legislative session, they borrow money by statute. They move money from the general fund to cover the cost of the projects. And normally, you know, in past years, that it usually isn't a problem because we have had more cash flow than we have. But now, as we have advised, I know Representative Solberg has been involved in the discussions as well as others, we have a cash flow issue. So if we were to front the projects from the general fund under the current, with the current dollar amounts, we would probably have to go out and short-term borrow to do that. The other thing to know is that due to the work of this committee and past bonding committees, we have $1.5 billion of past authorizations of projects that have been authorized in other years that are ongoing, that'll be ready and going this construction season. So the to-do...
Madam Chair, so those have already been, those bonds have already been issued?
Yes, and they were part of our past bond sales. We had a bond sale this fall and this past summer. So that money is available. There's a number of Minsky projects, projects all over the state that, for whatever reason, they started their construction last year or the year before, and it's an ongoing process of spending the money. The HEPRA piece of it from Minsky in the U, we can do right away. So that's something we can do right away. But the rest of it would have to wait till we resolved our budget issues and would be able to get out into the market whenever we finish our budget dilemma.
Well, Madam Chair, that's really good news because that's over $100 million in our conference committee report in HEPRA, and those are also the projects that don't involve, you know, an extensive amount of time in terms of bidding process, et cetera, design process. They're really ready
right
to go. Why is it that you can do those right away?
Because they're already set up. They're programs. They're preset programs that we have bonded for before, and you're bonding for the program. You're just adding more money into the program.
Okay. Representative Solberg.
Well, Madam Chair, a couple of things. You might have $1.5 billion authorized from previous ones, but you haven't sold that many bonds from previous ones. And so the timing of that bond sale is also suspect until we get out of session, and you don't want to put that bond sale up during the legislative session without us resolving the budget problem. I understand that fully. The HEPRA one, my understanding is you could add more to the HEPRA because in the previous bond sale there was HEPRA. I think it was a general category. But wasn't your last bond sale about $400 million?
Yes, that's about that. I don't remember the exact amount, Madam Chair, Representative.
So but is that in addition to the 1.5 that's been authorized, or is that part of the 1.5 that was authorized? And I understand, I don't know the answer to that question. That's why I asked it. I usually don't ask a question unless I know the answer.
As I've said before, I'm not Rain Man. I don't have all the numbers memorized.
Welcome to the committee.
Welcome. Thank you. My name is Gay Cerny. I'm the Capital Budget Coordinator at MMB. I just wanted to clarify that $1.5 billion is our proceeds of bonds that have already been sold in the past, and they are available to fund projects that have been authorized in those prior and listed in those prior bond issuances.
Well, Madam Chair, I think the last part of your sentence is what's important, is what's been listed in those last prior authorizations.
Yes, and that's an important point. You're right.
And my understanding is that HEPRA was listed in the last authorization. Is that correct? Am I correct on that?
Yes, you're correct on that.
My question is HEPRA listed as a broad category, or as do you have subcategories of where that is expected to be listed?
I'm sorry, I can't speak to you.
I think it's a broad category.
For example, would the same thing be true of, say, local bridges or transit corridors or something that is a broad category? I guess that would be...
That's my next... Particularly things like local bridges, because that's some things that we've had bond sales in the past.
Well, Madam Chair, Representative Solberg, you're now getting into Kathy Cardell.
I understand it, but I think those are the issues that are important for this committee to know as we are trying our best to get these jobs out as fast as possible.
Yes.
I think you are concurring that it is important and we do have flexibility. The other thing is, I think I want to follow through, if I may, on Senator Pappas' question. And that is, in your opinion, since you are now, for cash flow purposes, have borrowed from the Minsky system, but you're allowing them to keep a certain amount within their system as well for their cash flow purposes. Is it possible that if there's a project that we authorize that they want to go through quickly, that shovel ready to go, put people to work, that they would be able to use their own resources to at least start that project and wait for the bond sale to take place in July or August or wherever you have it done? And what's the difference between that and what when the general fund used to advance the payments for it, and we would pay back the general fund for the bond sale?
Is that Mr. Hansen?
Representative Hausman, or Madam Chair, Representative Solberg, as always, you ask a question I hadn't thought of. First of all, with Minsky, we asked on the cash flow issue, as you and I have talked about before, we asked them what they needed, and then they said $200 million. So we managed to that. We pay back what we can, but we always make sure they have $200 million. Even though we have that money set aside, you know, so that we don't transfer, that account is still part of the statutory general fund. So I guess what to fully answer your question, I would need to know how we're calculating that 200 and whether we need it, and then whether the Minsky actually what they use that 200 for. Well,
Madam Chair, I think that's a fair discussion to have with them.
But
they did testify that they could start the project with some of their own funds because they have their obligation for one-third anyway. My question is, what's the difference between them starting it and paying them back, since it's in part of the statutory general fund, than what we've done in the past when the state had some cash reserves? The state started a project, then we sold the bonds and paid back the general fund. I don't see very much difference in that.
Madam Chair, Representative Solberg, there is no difference other than it's in the $200 million that we said we wouldn't venture into that they would have the necessary reserves. They're able to say that because we've made that commitment.
Well, I understand that, but the lady
But it's the same result.
Well, but the lady from Minsky testified that they had the resources to do that. So maybe there's a schematics thing.
I think that might have, she's nodding her head in a way that suggests that might have been a misunderstanding of her comments. Okay. So we might get further clarification of that. Further, Representative Solberg.
No, I think that's it, but I think we need to explore that a little bit.
Okay.
That's possible. Yeah. Or they need to explore it more than us.
Mr. Hansen.
I think we could. My suggestion would be that we can have Kathy Cardell, our Assistant Commissioner for Debt Management, would be able to walk through what was listed in the last bond sale, what programs and what were, you know, we can get down specifically in that type of analysis.
And then any more to this subject? Otherwise, I think, Mr. Hansen, we're starting that very difficult process of reshaping the bill and adding the projects of interest to the governor and looking at dollar amounts for those that are daunting, and then beginning the paring down, the going the other direction once we have, because that puts us a little above $1 billion again. And so we're starting that process. Areas like Minsky have been very helpful to us in that conversation. Do you have either updates or further advice or information that you think would be valuable for us to know as we continue our work?
Madam Chair, I did have the opportunity to listen. I didn't attend the meeting yesterday or last week, but I actually did have the opportunity to listen to it. Both of them, while I had my lunch the last few days. I don't think at this time, I can restate the governor's core priorities, which Mr. DeLaForest has probably stated to you before, but also our desire to keep a bill at what was at the $725 million range and work within that number to try and develop a bill that we all can use.
Madam Chair.
Senator Blankstein.
What that means is the governor wants his bill. He wants his bill. If it's going to be within 725 and we put the things he wants in it, it's his bill. And I mean, whatever happened to negotiations and democracy and so on? I mean, this baffles me. How you could make that statement that it has to be within 725 and have his priorities in it?
Well, Madam Chair, Senator Langseth, I didn't say that we needed all $725 million. I said the governor's core priorities, the Moose Lake, and the Oak Park Heights, the Vermilion language, and the other things that Mr. De La Forest talked about, and I think they add up to 120 or whatever the number is. But I didn't say that the governor has to dictate the full 725. I mean, there's a lot of room within that number from what the core priorities we discussed and what we want as an overall total.
Well, Madam Chair, Mr. Hanson, most of the rest of the bill we have got in our bill. So, again, I say this baffles me, because if you take the things we've got on our bill that he had and add the things we don't have, we got his bill. And we're supposed to pass that.
Well, and we'll take that, obviously, but I don't think that, I mean, there's things we can construct the 725 that it's mutually beneficial. I don't subscribe to the notion that it's exactly our bill.
I think most of that, though, is public safety and corrections and those kind of basic state agencies and local bridges and so forth that are already there, and that I think he's been very clear he wouldn't want to cut. So I think what we're struggling with is we think we pretty much had that at day one, and it's the other parts of the bill that we haven't really talked about.
Madam Chair.
Representative Solberg.
Well, Madam Chair, Commissioner Hanson, with all due respect, and I understand where the 725 comes from the forecast, but in my conversations, and I tried to my best to listen very, very carefully to the verbiage, because sometimes that's the verbiage, but I have never heard either the governor directly or Mr. De La Forest say 725. I think I heard, well, we're open to negotiations. Now, that's a little bit different message coming today from you than what the verbiage was before, at least unless I misunderstood that type of language before. I always thought that there was room for negotiations, and there was, in fact, as the governor refused to give us up. Did I misunderstand other previous conversations?
Mr. Hanson.
Madam Chair, Representative Solberg, I articulated our current position. Obviously, to come to an agreement, we have to agree on size and scope. And I'm not foolish enough to think that in the end it's going to be $725 million.
Well, we made progress in the last minute then.
Senator, you can always get it out of me, can't you?
Senator Lynch.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Commissioner, over the past several days and weeks, we've been working to gather additional information and to seek to make adjustments along the way. And there were two pieces of information that were delivered to us. One, the announcement of the forecast, which is arguably better for the immediate days ahead. The second piece of information that we received was the amended guidelines from MMB, which indicate, in fact, that our debt capacity is in fact more than what we had originally had been indicated to us. And so I wonder if you might, I wonder, obviously you have that same information. I thought that that was positive information in light of the discussions here, and I wonder if you might like to offer additional comment.
Sure.
Mr. Hansen.
Madam Chair, Senator Lynch, I arguably better. I think that was the first forecast I've had that's been positive since I started, so I was thrilled. You were right. You said it well. Arguably better. We pick up $209 million, but our tails get worse. So I think it, as I've stated the last couple days, it means we're not getting any worse, and maybe we're getting somewhat better. It all calls all of our attention to, in addition to the issues that we're talking about at the Capitol this week, JMC, capital investment, to get on to the work of discussing and figuring out how we're going to resolve our $994 million deficit and our $5.8 billion shortfall in the outbiennium. So when I look at those two facts that you gave me in their totality, we need to keep in mind that even though they're wonderful interest rates, Madam Chair, as you've told me every time I've seen you in the hallway and every meeting, even though it's not related to bonding, you might remind me, it does cost money in this biennium, in the next biennium, and the bienniums beyond. So that's how I look at it in its totality.
Follow up. Any other questions of Mr. Hansen? Anyone has any further information you feel we should have?
No, other than I think I'm spending the evening with you and Representative Solberg.
I have to say I was momentarily startled and trying to remember what is it I'm doing tonight.
We have that dinner date at 8 o'clock.
Did you see that blank look on my face as I was trying to members, we have and I think it was provided to through Kathy Blair to Senate conferees, and we have it for House conferees. Further information from Dennis Benson and some attachments that's going around to House conferees, I think. And I think he may have already left, but we are, as you know, we're just continuing to struggle with the issue of the right number for Moose Lake. You know that neither House or Senate, or Republicans or Democrats for that matter, were terribly excited about $89 million right from the start, and so we have continued to struggle with is there some reasonable lower number, and this is response to some of the questions that we raised. So that is the new information today, and if there are no further questions? No. Any further questions?
Were we going to? Oh, we're not going to discuss that today then. Okay.
Okay. Nope.
Okay.
Then meeting is adjourned.
Okay.